Welcome to Everyday Design, the show that brings out the designer in you, living life by design. Today, we'll be chatting with Rudo Catlin. We'll be talking about how we can do things on a budget, how we can do things a little better, especially in these challenging economic times. How are you doing, Rudo?
I am good, Ma. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Thanks for joining us today. But before we jump into the subject matter, let's just have a word from our sponsors, Harris Paints. Paint it, love it. With over 30,000 colors to choose from, you're sure to find a color that works for you with Harris Paints. And we know that many of our designers with the Interior Design Challenge have found lovely colors with Harris Paints. Please just give them a call. And also, Lord's Window and Screen Repairs, give them a call. We know you've been looking at those screens. They've been damaged for a long time, and you need to get them repaired. Please give Lord's Window and Screen Repairs a call. Also, some of those sash windows in particular, the ones that, you know, you have propping up with that stick, and they're pretty dangerous, especially for children. Please give Lord's a call. They'll give a free consultation. Their number is 261-8732. So, Rudo, let's jump straight into it. We're talking about how we can do things on a budget, how we can do things a bit more affordably. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your background, because we know that you've been posting a few things on social media on your experience in house hacking. How did you get into this?
Yeah, well the truth is that I was, first of all, I was introduced to a concept called network marketing, say, about 15 years ago, right? And it got me on the path where I was always looking for passive income, yeah? And this was probably just around 2007, 2008. And if you remember that time, that was around the time where, you know, America was going through a Great Depression, yeah? And Barbados was also about to follow suit. So that really...
Well, actually, I don't even know if you've really come out of that depression from 2007, 2008. I think we were still riding it, and then we got hit even harder with this COVID-19. So I think we're still kind of riding that slump even at the moment. But yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, man. So at the time, you know, I had, I just met my wife, and, you know, she's from Pittsburgh.
Ah, good news.
yeah, correct. Yeah. And it just seemed as though, you know, we were on the same wavelength. And after reading the book Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, who, by the way, is also into real estate, he basically set the tone for my direction. And it just happened that at that point, you know, I just lost my job at the airport. And we were looking for new opportunities. And in Pittsburgh, where she lives, you know, the housing market had kind of crashed. So there was so much opportunity to get homes over there at a very low and reduced price. And, you know, it just kind of followed through. We just jumped into it. And that basically what started our journey.
So tell me, you know, I've always heard about these homes, because I'm into real estate as well. I've always heard about these homes in USA, and I've seen some of the prices on many of the television shows like HGTV, that people have bought massive homes for like really low prices, and then, of course, they would fix them up and flip them. Is that the kind of market that you were jumping into? And if so, what kind of prices were you able to flip any yourself? Is that what you did?
Well, we kind of do the whole HGTV thing. We were kind of HGTV before HGTV came about.
But oh, really?
we basically more into rentals. Yeah, flipping is a different market. In Pittsburgh, what we found is that, you know, the rental market was a lot better because of one, the schooling communities and the colleges. There are a lot of colleges over there, so you will find that you have a lot of students looking to rent. So the occupancy was always high. And at the time, I haven't done my research in a while now, but at the time, it was the second best place to actually live or rent in the United States of America. So,
well, that's great. Great market.
Exactly. So it just happened that, you know, after reading that book, it seemed as though, I know this sounds a little bit cliche, but the stars seemed to be aligned, and it put us right. You know, it said, you know, there's a saying that says, success is when preparation meets opportunity. And it just seemed that was what happened at that point in time. And the homes we got were like, they were very random. there was some.
I mean, what are you talking about? Like, tell me what kind of home you got and like how much you paid for it, because I'm sure I'm hoping that when we hear these, we'll be like, what?
Well, bear in mind, right? Our first property was a duplex. When I say this thing was in, these are not you walk in and you just do little renovations. This is major renovations that were done. We just had to do, and the prices were like around $20,000 at the time. So
you got to be kidding me. And when you say major renovations, what are we talking about? You know, replace the roof, you know, replace a few walls, flooring boards. What were we looking at?
All right. Well, I would say more cosmetic. You're looking at things like cupboards, how to do some painting. You know, the place was kind of, I would say, trashed. So I just remember, and Pittsburgh is cool, right? So I just remember myself having to learn a lot of new stuff. Control the cupboards in terms of doing drywall and all that kind of stuff. And the market over there, they kind of make it very easy for you to learn new stuff because, you know, you're going to Home Depot and you could just give them the measurement and it was kind of like they already knew what you wanted before you came in. So most of the stuff at that point in time, we did ourselves to keep prices down, because over there, while the homes were at a reasonable rate, the labor over there is pretty high. So a lot
I see.
Would have gone into what we were doing, right? So that's basically where we started out, right? And during that period of time, believe it or not, we were able to get, you know, 5 units of around that price. And since then, you know, we were able to just renovate. We did it one at a time. And then, you know, we basically live on the rental income after that. So that was our first introduction to passive income.
Well, I think that's fantastic. I mean, seeing what happens on HGTV, I think for a lot of people that is a dream, but I suspect that the reality wasn't quite as dreamish as it seems when you're just editing and fast forwarding to see the end.
but the truth is, for me, I would tell you this, right? I read that book by Kiyosaki maybe 2 or 3 years before we actually got the properties. And during the period of time when I was, you know, purchasing the properties and doing the renovations, you know, it was myself and my wife. And, you know, she's actually an architect by profession. And she's the person that was, well, she had the eye for this kind of thing, right? For me,
right?
You know, I had to be the guy that was, you know, taking all the garbage and, you know, moving around the heavy stuff and taking like sometimes 10, 20 trips to take out, you know, debris and that kind of stuff. And for me, trust me, you know, when you can't see the end and you don't know what the property is going to look like, when you have to do all that manual labor, for me, it wasn't a picnic. You know, I was actually kind of upset during the period of time, and it was really, really cool. This was like...
At least for the first house anyway, at least for the first house.
Especially for the first one. But I would say that, you know, afterwards, you know, I didn't even realize that what I was doing was what I read about so many years ago. But like I said, after I saw the finished product and after I realized, you know, well, this is what it takes, you know, to make a dream come true. You know, it doesn't come dressed up. It's not pretty. You know, it came with a lot of hard work, you know, a lot of cold days, sometimes working 2-3 days back to back. But at the end, you know, the result was worth it.
Okay, Rudo, what we'll do, we'll take a quick break here and then we'll come back and we'll hear more about this with Everyday Design.
Do you have windows that need repairing? Do you need screens? Are you propping up your windows with a stick? Don't wait till the hurricane season to fix your windows and screens. Call Lord's Window and Screen Repairs at 261-8732 or 260-8633. We are your reliable window and door screen repair company. Protect your home and family with Lord's Window and Screen Repairs. Contact us today on Facebook or call 261-8732 or 260-8633 for a free quotation.
I be coming in fiery, see the girl them and bend. Me want you fi bend, girl, bend. Oh, 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 oh. Hey, how you find it amazing. Yeah, my girl, you amazing. From how you cock up your foot, you not lazy. And when you a bubble like gravy. Cause you not fugazi. Girl, you pretty like a rose or daisy. Yeah, you a drive them crazy. With the performance you put down for me, baby. I tell you, Ben. You're skillful, you get 10 out of 10. I tell you, Ben. Don't stick, girl, do it again. I tell you, Ben. You're skillful, you get 10 out of 10. I tell you, Ben.
Yeah, welcome back to Everyday Design. We're chatting with Rudo Catlin. We're talking about house hacking and some ways that you can save money, especially in these challenging economic times. So, Rudo, we heard a little bit about your background. We heard a little bit about your experience in Pittsburgh. How has that experience helped you here in Barbados? Now you move back to Barbados, and you've seen the market in Barbados is not quite the same as the USA. I don't think you flip homes as quickly. The turnover is not as fast. The process, the administration, the legal work, all that, it just takes a bit of time. How have your lessons from overseas have helped you here?
Well, to be honest, it's a totally different experience. You hit the nail on the head. You know, purchasing a home in the U.S. was like maybe like from seeing it in the papers, maybe like 30 days to having keys, right? Here in Barbados.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
Trust me, it is amazing, you know. My first property here was actually also a renovation, but it was renovating my parents' old family home. And this was, you know, it was a traditional chattel house. And I actually got the idea from one of my customers, you know, when I saw what she did to her home, you know, and it was really just to get in, you know, to get my family somewhere, have a roof over my head and that kind of stuff, and not to have to pay rent. But our second home was, we actually looked into a set of apartments, apartment building. It was, I don't want to say old and random, but it was a very dated building. And if any of you out there follow on social media, we basically were able to turn this into Paradise Point Barbados Hotels, right? You could always check us on IG at Paradise Point Barbados. Now, the process of that, yes, it was a little more costly. Yes,
a little more, a lot more.
I would say a lot more. I want to tell the listeners out there, right? The series that we've recently done on our Instagram page, Stretching the Dollar, will show that, you know, you don't have to start at a high level. You know, I didn't. And there are so many opportunities here in Barbados if, you know, the person is willing to take the time to look. We would have shown a property that would have been, you know, as low as $200,000. And this was a duplex, believe it or not. And it was in prime location. It was...
Oh, wow. $200,000?
Just $200,000. I know it sounds like, you know, but this can't be Barbados, but we would have seen it. We would have seen it on... and this would have been in Station Hill. And we would have seen it online. And we actually did, because we wanted to do something that was actually live. We posted the link and everything. And, you know, it was basically you could have bought it and just walk in. No major renovations to be done. And you have a duplex. And
what sort of square footage you're talking about? How many rooms, bedrooms, bathrooms, things like that?
Yeah, well, there were two bedrooms. I don't remember exact square footage, but what I could say is that for someone starting out, you're more looking at the prospect of the passive income that you could get from the property. Remember, it's an investment, right? They weren't the prettiest, but these are things that you use as stepping stones, you know, to get to another level. So let's say some numbers, for example. So you take a home that's about $200,000, and for a 30-year mortgage at 4%. You are looking at a monthly repayment of just about, I think it was maybe like $1,300 or so. And
well, you actually, you know, when you think about it, that's what some people pay for a car. Like, except that the car goes down in value over time, whereas the real estate goes up in value.
Well, you see, and that's exactly what we mentioned. You know, the difference between you know, the wealthy and the persons, you know, some of the persons that may not have. There's not much difference. They do the same things. It's just that, you know, they choose to buy assets first to pay for their liabilities, whereas the person is not me, you know, get a job and go buy the car first, they're buying a liability first. So hence, you have a different result. But let's say you made an investment of $200,000 into a home, and you have a duplex where you get a $900 a month from each of those. One, you're going to clear your mortgage. You can look at an option to add the additional income, you know, to pay the mortgage off a lot faster. It's showing that if you could double your mortgage payment, you would cut off at least 20 years off a 30-year mortgage, and you would save more than, you know, at least two-thirds of the interest that you would generally pay if you stretched out that length of time. And last thing is that in 10 years, if you completely own the home, you have the equity within the property. So there's so much to take a look at, right? So when I look at a home like that, I'm not looking at, you know, how beautiful it is. And, you know, I'm not looking for bells and whistles. What I'm looking at is an investment, you know, to help a person at that level to either have a place to live and to start getting myself some passive income.
Okay, Rudolph, let's take a break here with Everyday Design, and we'll come back in just a few moments.
Do you have windows that need repairing? Do you need screens? Are you propping up your windows with a stick? Don't wait till the hurricane season to fix your windows and screens. Call Lord's Window and Screen Repairs at 261-8732 or 260-8633. We are your reliable window and door screen repair company. Protect your home and family with Lord's Window and Screen Repairs. Contact us today on Facebook or call 261-8732 or 260-8633 for a free quotation.
Come now, girl, come now, girl, come now. Girl, push that back on me.
So come push that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Baby, roll that,
roll that.
Oh, lad. Push back,
push back.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Girl, give me your costume skin tight, that's all I want you and me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Caribbean girl,
Caribbean girl.
Give me your bumper booming and you bending up your two knees.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just want to mash up the bumper, bumper. Pull out your shape, I can't concentrate.
Quasi da bumper, bumper.
If you fling that so sick, I won't knock it for six.
Mash up the bumper, bumper.
If you come with a bad attitude, I'll take two.
Quasi da bumper, bumper.
Baby, tick tock and just fling that back on me.
So come fling that back.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Baby, roll that.
Roll
oh, lad. Push back,
push back.
Yeah, yeah.
Come push that back on me.
Push back.
Welcome back to Everyday Design. Again, we're chatting with Rudolph Catlin. We're talking about ways to make passive income and how to stretch your dollar, especially as it relates to homes and renovations and things like that. And Rudolph, when we left, you were talking about the great opportunity you saw where you found a home for $200,000 and you were giving us the details on the repayments. You said it was a duplex. You have a chance to gain that passive income and you can possibly even pay it off a lot faster and generate that revenue. So that was a great opportunity that worked out for you then.
Well, we did take it. We used it as an example here on our Instagram page.
Oh, so you didn't buy it. You didn't buy that?
No, that was not ours that we would have purchased. It was just an example that we would have given on our social media.
I think it's someone's opportunity to go and buy it then.
but funny enough, we actually did four live examples that we would have seen on the internet, right? And funny enough, at the last one, it was actually a property. And these were random stuff that we picked. It was actually one of our friends that was actually looking to purchase property. So we kind of, in essence, did some kind of free work for him.
Right. Now, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that because I actually have some experiences like that myself. It's a little different where there was a chattel house that was for sale. Chattel house was for sale. Someone was selling it for like $5,000. House was purchased. Yeah. I mean, you know, because basically the person had the property. They wanted to sell the property, but they were giving someone the opportunity to buy the house. That house was moved from that property, placed on another location. Maybe someone had land that they already have. They're paying for it. But maybe, you know, they're just paying land tax. It may not be in an area like a development where you have a covenant because certain areas you can't put a chattel house. So it's like in a village. That chattel house was moved into a village area. it was set up. And now that chattel house, I mean, is actually, I'm actually recording the whole process. So right. you can see what it was like originally mm-hmm. and to where it is now, where it's now a two bedroom, two bathroom with a huge patio and a basement, because literally the land was already excavated for construction when it was sold. So when it was purchased, it already had that excavated area. So that area was then turned into a basement, and now is looking like a fantastic deal. And I think that, like what you're talking about, people have to find ways to make it work, because, you know, people talk about our ancestors dying for the right to vote, but our ancestors also fought and died for the right to own land. And in many cases, you had to own land in order to vote. And I think that, especially today, when things are so expensive and people are losing jobs and different things, we have to find a way to make this more affordable. People need, Bajans need to have homes. They need to, you know, be able to plan for their lives, plan for their families, be able to pass on something. Because, yes, renting is good, like renting is fine, but when you put that equity in rent, then you don't always, you know, at the end of the time is rent, but you can't pass it on, if you see what I mean.
Understood. Yeah, definitely, totally understood. Yeah, so I mean the matter is that hearing you know, your deal didn't seem as though it came prepackaged either. You know, it came in the version of a old chattel house, and if it was selling for $5,000, I can't see it, you know, being, you know, the most pristine, in the most pristine condition. I think that sometimes, you know, and, you know, I work in an area where, you know, I see persons coming to purchase homes all the time. And generally speaking, when you come in looking for something prepackaged, you know, which is what you would call, you know, maybe a residential area, where you have the and that kind of stuff, chances are, there's not, one, you can't do as much as you would like. You are under a lot of restrictions. And two, you're going to pay very heavily for that prepackaged deal. Because
you have to pay for all the work that went into it, you know.
That's right. Paying for the security of the neighborhood, you're paying for so much that is not really the actual home, right? You're paying for security, you're paying for convenience. And the truth of the matter is, well, that is all well and good. The question that I believe most persons have to ask themselves is, what do you really want? Do you want to be buying a liability? Because a lot of persons believe that as long as they buy a piece of the rock, that they've bought an asset. But the definition of an asset is anything that put money into your pocket. And the truth of the matter is, you could ask anybody that's paying a mortgage out of pocket, you know, that house is more going to take, anything that's taking money out of your pocket is more a liability. So when you look at the mortgage, you know, land tax, the water bill, light bill, phone bill, any repairs that have to be done, you know, a home really is a huge liability, unless you're doing either a house hack or you're doing an Airbnb, or it is bringing in some form of income that is negating that cost or even making you a profit on top of it. So I think that, you know, if I were looking to purchase another home, I'd be looking for something, you know, maybe that, you know, isn't as pretty, maybe something that I know maybe I have to put in a little bit of sweat equity. And chances are, when you look for stuff like that, chances are you can tend to find more and more deals, and you know, you could probably save yourself a few dollars and put yourself in a better position.
You know, Rudo, as we wrap up, you know, you're kind of going into an area that we had discussed briefly, which is the whole area of day work versus project work. Now, we know that if you want to do construction, most people would hire a contractor to work on that house and to, you know, to take it from the ground up. But sometimes when you get that, you know, the contractor, he will give you a price. Sometimes some of the prices are quite scary. Now, for example, the contractor would give you a price for a project. He would say, okay, to build this house is going to cost you approximately, you know, and you're hearing something like about, let me just pick a number, $250,000, $350,000, $450,000. You know, that's the kind of thing you're going to hear, and that is going to be for the project. That's what he's going to charge you for that project, all things being equal, right? But then you have some other people now, and, you know, there are pros and cons. So now, let me give you an example, and it's an example I gave you earlier, Rudo, when we were chatting offline. Basically, let's say you have a roof to put on. and a contractor comes to you now and says, listen, to put on this roof, I'm going to charge you $5,000 to put on this roof, right?
Right.
You may say, okay, well, I may not have $5,000 in hand right now. You may say, okay, I'll save up and I'll spend the $5,000 to put on this roof. Another guy may come to you and say, listen, I can put this roof on in 4 days. I'll charge you $140 a day, and I'll put this roof on for you. And I've seen people who've been able to do that and been able to cut their costs significantly. But, of course, there are certain pros and cons in the whole process that you have to look at. One, you would have to know that the person who is going to do that job for $140 per day, one, that they're a person who can work. Because you don't want it dragging on for, like, you know, 3 weeks later, the job is still not finished. You definitely need to know the character of the person. And there's certain pros and cons of the whole process, but I think we'll discuss that in another show, because I think that warrants another show. But I think in this economy where people are losing their jobs, money is not as readily available as it is, people have to find creative ways. Even workmen and contractors have to find ways to work with people, because no doubt they're looking for jobs. People are looking to get work done, so each one can meet each other halfway and be able to get it done. So, Rudo, I'd like to thank you very much. Thanks for sharing your experience for house hacking. I think it was quite exciting, and we look to have you on the show again.
All right. Much appreciated, Derek. Thanks a lot for inviting me, and it surely was my pleasure talking to you. Know, I always love to share stuff with people. Anyone that needs more information, they can feel free to check me out on my Instagram page, Stretching the Dollar. There's lots of information there, not just on the housing market, but from the very basics of financial planning, you know, saving, budgeting. My aim is to walk persons through an entire process where they could go from, you know, the basics of saving money to, you know, investing in making some decent investments.
Well, Rudo, that sounds like a great place for people to visit right now. Stretching the Dollar. Is that stretchingthedollar.com?
Well, we do have the website. You can check us at www.stretchingthedollar.com, or you could go on our Instagram page. Just type in Stretching the Dollar is one word. Or you can even check us out on Facebook. Facebook is also Stretching the Dollar. So Stretching the Dollar, right here. If you're a Facebook person, Instagram, or if you just want to check out our website, we have all the information there.
Wherever you go, you're stretching that dollar. So thank you very much, Rudo. Thank you, and have a great day. And we'll hear you next time on Everyday Design.
Do you have windows that need repairing? Do you need screens? Are you propping up your windows with a stick? Don't wait till the hurricane season to fix your windows and screens. Call Lord's Window and Screen Repairs at 261-8732 or 260-8633. We are your reliable window and door screen repair company. Protect your home and family with Lord's Window and Screen Repairs. Contact us today on Facebook or call 261-8732 or 260-8633 for a free quotation.